I've got something for you that God gave me in the Bible. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. And I know that most every one of you is very, very familiar with this passage, John chapter 15. We're going to go 1 through probably 16. And heard it preached a whole bunch of different ways, heard it taught a whole bunch of different ways. God has really showed me something for me in this, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And I pray that you'll go to this passage not carrying too much baggage about the things you've been taught, but go to this passage really wanting God, not me, wanting God to show you something that'll help you this year, okay? But first, let me pray, because I surely need God to get involved in this. Father, I just, once again, it is a true privilege to stand in my pastor's pulpit and to stand with your words, Lord, and truly have the Holy Spirit right here with us, Lord, ready to guide us into all truth. And Father, I, like always, am the weak link in this whole deal. And I'm praying now that you'll either hold me up and allow me to be that good vessel, or you'll get me out of the way and use me, use this voice, use your words to really encourage the folks tonight the way that you encouraged me. And I surely pray that there'll be some fruit from this sermon. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to, even if you're familiar with passages, I'm going to read it. And I want you to just follow through with me. And then we're going to talk about a few things in here that that I really think will be a blessing to you. I know it's a blessing to me. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's the text that I want to go through tonight. I want to look at that. And in just reading that, I pray that you noticed something here. There's a theme to this passage. There's a definite theme to the passage, and it's bringing forth fruit. Bringing forth fruit. Look in verse 1 again. It says, verse 2, I believe it is. Yeah. Every branch that is in me beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and you so shall you be my disciples. Look in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. There's a theme to this passage in bringing forth fruit. And I truly believe that, well, let's talk about bringing forth fruit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that's what's so great about this Bible. You can go, do y'all hear something creaking and crackling? Okay, I just it was wondering to me. I kept thought if I touched the pulpit, it'd do it, but I don't know what it is. You go to the Bible and you look up the phrase, bring forth fruit, and don't turn there, but then I'll do it for you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, that's Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Bringing forth fruit means to be birthing this fruit. It means to be in on the conception of this fruit. You know, Mary, like this verse says, it says, for without me ye can do nothing. For without God, Mary was not going to bring forth this fruit. But because of God, she was able to enjoy being on, what do we call it, being on the ground floor. I mean, she was in on, how would you like to be on the ground floor of Walmart? How would you like to have been bringing forth that fruit? Or how about just the ground, you know, HEB, Walmart, McDonald's, any of those? How would you like to have been on the bringing forth fruit part of that deal? In this passage, we're going to see that we have a great opportunity to bring forth fruit, to be in on the conception. There's also in this passage, besides that theme of bringing forth fruit, there's also two promises in here that are in regards to prayer. Verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That sounds like some answered prayer. Okay? And then verse 16, toward the end, it says, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so there's some promises here that are in direct connection. They're in this context, and they're in direct connection with this bringing forth fruit. And so what I believe, and what you're going to hear preached here for just a little while, is there are some great examples in this passage of how we can bring forth fruit through our prayers. So the title of this is Bringing Forth Fruit Through Your Prayers. Not everybody in the body of Christ, not everybody in this church is called to preach. That's pretty simple to understand. And not everybody in this church is called or has the opportunity to be a Sunday school teacher or teach one of these other classes or anything on that line. Believe me, not everyone in here is called to sing a special. You can thank God for some of that, yeah. Not everyone in here is called to show up here tomorrow morning and clean this building. Not everyone in here is called to show up and mow the grass. You see, we're all members in particular of this body, and we all have things that God has called us to do. And your joy, your job in life is trying to what does God want me to do? And believe me, I truly believe that God wants a lot of you just to be like the preaching this morning. Be a good parent. Be a good example. Be something that those kids can look to and see how things are done. I believe that's a great calling. It's a great calling. But one thing that I do know, every one of us can pray. Every one of us can pray. And I truly, this is what God's put on me for this year, because when I teach the college and career kids and the young families, I can't help but beat them and beat them and beat them with how valuable this book is and how valuable God's words are in your life. And then last year, I can remember, first part of the year, man, I went over why you should be reading this book and really pushed that. And I'm not saying that's something I shouldn't do, but something I've neglected in my teaching and I've neglected in my life, I believe, is the right amount of prayer. The right amount of prayer. You see, we say it all the time that God talks to us through this book. Do y'all believe that? Sure. And the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is going to show you anything in life, He's going to show you according to the things in this book. And most of the time through this book. Okay, so that's how God communicates with you. You communicate with God through your prayer. Through your prayer. And, you know, here's the fact. I told them this last week, and it's just as true. Either God answers prayer or He doesn't. Okay, now if He doesn't, let's go to the quad. Because this is just like a nice warm place, but what's the use? Truly. But if God does answer prayer, how many of y'all believe that? Then isn't that an amazing thing, an amazing privilege, amazing power that each one of us has? And are we really even beginning to grasp the importance of that? Or the potential of that? Or the power in that? I don't believe we are. I don't think we're coming close. I know I'm not. There's this privilege that I can come to the Creator. Sometimes we say the Creator of the universe. No, all the universes. The Creator of everything. I can come to Him 24/7. I can boldly approach that throne of grace. I have that power, and how often do I not use it? Or I take it and use it at, like, Lord, bless this food. Okay, let's eat. And I don't really take, I take it for granted. I actually pray sometimes, and I know you do, as if you don't really even believe it's going to get answered. I've just been doing some reading on George Mueller. There was a guy that when he prayed believing that God was going to answer the prayer. And guess what? God answered those prayers. And God answers our prayers. And so tonight, what I truly want to do is encourage us, because God has encouraged me through this. It's not a passage that you would normally preach on prayer. But there are things in here that have popped out to me that God has got a hold of me about. All of us have this power and this privilege to be able to bring forth fruit through our prayers. And so, one thing this is not going to do, let me go ahead and tell that. I'm not going to get up here and spend any time on trying to explain to you how to pray for the things you need and want. Y'all are all perfect at that, right? We don't have to have any instruction on how to get on your knees and beg God for something. Okay? I've tried the new pickup. It hasn't showed up yet. Okay? But everybody here knows that. So this is not a sermon or a lesson or encouraging you to pray for your needs or pray for your wants. You're good at that. This is some stuff that I think we neglect. This is some stuff that I think pleases God. In fact, I think this is some stuff that God wants us to do. I truly wants us to do. He wants us to bear fruit. So look in verse. Let's look at the first three verses. Verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, look at this, He purgeth it. He purgeth it. To purge means to cleanse, to clear, to purify by separating and carrying off whatsoever is impure. When you purge something, you clean it out. Example, have any of y'all ever done a crawfish boil? Okay, and you get this big old bag of live crawfish from Louisiana, and you get a big old cooler or a tub, and you dump those crawfish in there, in some water, and then you sprinkle a whole bunch of salt in that water. And you walk away for about 30 minutes, and when you come back, that nice clear water is black. And you know why it's black? Because that salt water has just purged those crawfish. And the stuff has come out both ends. And that frog, all the impurities in that crawfish have been excommunicated. the crawfish has just been purged. Do you understand? You get the example of what purge means. Well, that's the Randy example. You know, the good thing about this Bible, I keep telling you, the next verse defines what purge means. Look at the next verse. Jesus says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you." Now ye are purged. I'm here to testify, and I know that most of y'all understand this, that this book and reading and studying and hearing preaching through this book will purge you of the things that God doesn't want in you, the impurities. It'll cleanse you. These words have a cleansing effect. I know just in the normal day's time, I know I'm the only one in here that does that, but I'll sit down to read my Bible and I'll read a chapter of the Bible and I did no more understand, receive, pull in, comprehend anything I just read. I have just done an oil change and figured out what else needs to be. My mind is somewhere else, but my lips are reading the book. I'm the only one. Okay, that's what I thought. But I have learned that when I catch myself, I go, "Okay, Lord," and I go back and I start again. And maybe the next time I get a little further. And then I go back and I start again. And this is a discipline. I encourage you to go back and start again, not just start from there and go on. But go back and start again. And you know what? Every time, I guarantee you, every time, finally, that word purges the day's events. It purges the things that I've got on my mind. It purges the worries that I had in my heart, the concerns, the anxieties. It purges all of that out of me. And finally, that word has done a cleansing effect on me in just reading it. And it happens every time. I truly believe in that, number one, a prayer that we need to put in our life and to work in our life is purging prayer. Purging prayer. You say, what is purging prayer? How about 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How about that as a purging prayer? You know, when you come to the Lord and have the desire to purge the things that are between you and God, That is some good stuff. That is some good stuff. When you can come to God and get that stuff cleansed and get it away. And I tell you, here's a fact. Maureen and I have been married a little over 12 years now. Okay? We both came to this marriage being widow and widower. We both had previous spouses. We had kids. We had lives. We had all kinds of experiences. All that goes aside, and now we come together. Sounds like the Brady Bunch. Okay? No, it's worse. She's Irish and I'm German. And so when she wants to fight, she needs to bring a sack lunch because we're going to be a while. Okay? What we have learned is that when anything starts to affect or to concern us or anxiety or any of those things start to creep in, We agree to sit down and just start talking. And there is a purging effect that happens on us when we just sit down and say what's on our mind and say what's in our heart. And we get that out. It's kind of like letting off the steam. You know what I mean? You shake your head. Yeah, this means yes. Yeah. And there's a purging effect to doing that, to actually saying it and getting it out and hearing it and getting it out and saying it and getting it out. Do you think there's any difference in that with your spouse or even with your child as it would be sitting down with God Almighty and just saying, "You know what, Lord, I this is where I'm at." Isn't that a great thing to try to get into your life, is a purging prayer? There's another purging prayer. And I am blessed to be able to see it a lot. It's the prayer of salvation. You know, pastor gets up here and preaches, and we have folks, believe it, they actually come to church lost, they hear the gospel, and they get saved. Still happens. It still happens. I get blessed because I'm the Randy in the back seat that they go talk to. And I take them back to my office. And you know what? We give them the words of God. I don't give them my opinion. I give them God's opinion. God's opinion of their sin. God's opinion on how He sees it. God's opinion on what He's going to do about it. And then they make a decision, yea or nay, to accept the free gift of what God said He'd do for them and what He's already done for them. I give them God's words. Do you think that's a little purging effect on their life? The big purging effect is when they finally say, I want that. I need that. And you know what they do? They bow their head and they say a prayer that's a purging prayer. Because I guarantee you, when they raise their head up, there's a new creature sitting there. And they have just, and if you can remember back to the day that you've got saved, I don't know how many of them have told me, it is like I had a gorilla on my back and it's gone. Or there's this heavy thing I was carrying and now I don't have it. You know what? They've just been purged. They've been purged of every sin they committed before that deal. What a great purging prayer. And I just want to encourage you that if nothing else, oh, and by the way, once they purge in my office, Don and Doyle get to come clean that stuff up. It's a mess. No. No, purging prayer. There's a bunch of them. And I'm praying, my prayer for tonight is that God is going to show you some kind of thing that needs to be purged in your life. And that before you leave here tonight, you'll take the time and take the effort, and it doesn't take long with God, just to purge this thing away. Maybe it's unforgiveness. That's something that you're carrying, and it's not going to do you any good. If you carry it long enough, it's going to turn into bitterness. And then really, it's going to be a hard burden to carry. There's all kinds of things. There's pride, there's envy, there's covetousness. All those things, we all have our own one, our pet one. We all have all these things. And these are things that God wants us to purge. He wants to cleanse us from. And He'll do it. All you have to do is get down and get in prayer with Him and get it done. So a purging prayer is the first thing that it speaks of to me in this passage. But there's another one here. Let's look at this. Look in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The next prayer I'd like to show you that we really, truly need to include in our prayer life, especially, you know, it's a new year. Let's start doing it now. Get some purging prayers in there and get some abiding prayers in there. You say, what's an abiding prayer? To abide means to rest or to dwell or to stay or to stand firm. Abiding prayers concern your fellowship with God or your ability to stay in God's will. Abiding prayers. At my house, if I want to abide at my house, there's certain things that I need to concern myself with. Okay? I need to be, when my wife does things for me, I need to be thankful about it. Any men want to say amen to that? Okay. And vice versa. The spouses know there's a bunch of unwritten rules of how to abide in that house and stay out of trouble. Yeah, everybody's giggling, but it's true. There's places you don't go. There's things you don't say. There's things you don't do. There's things you're supposed to do. And that, we all do that, whether it be at our house, whether it be at school, whether it be at our job. There's always these rules, and whether they're written or unwritten, that if we want to have fellowship and we want to get along, we need to abide by the rules, and we need to do those things. Abiding prayers, by the way, the Lord has given us the things that we need to do, the things that we need to believe, the things that we don't need to do to be able to abide with Him in fellowship. The first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this, and it's just that, being thankful. Being thankful. The same old examples, but they're true. If you're a parent in here and you go beyond the call of duty for your child and they shrug it off like they were deserving of it, and you get no thanks, how does that hit home? It doesn't hit home very well. It doesn't feel very good. I can just imagine how many times I have disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ with my thankfulness. Okay? We had this conversation just the other day about the fact that we spend, I don't know about y'all, but we agreed we spend far more time worrying and complaining and praying about the things that we don't have as opposed to being thankful and content and happy with the things that God has given us. Okay? Both of us have wayward children. Both of us have children that basically don't want to have anything to do with us. And as Pastor preached on Wednesday night, I've been blessed 100-fold. Well, not even 100-fold. I've been blessed way beyond 100-fold. And I have other children. I have sons, and I have daughters, and I have mothers, and I have fathers. And God has blessed me far more in abundance with what I have. And all of us tend to spend most of our time on what we have not. And be concerned about that and be, you know, we don't have a problem praying about that. That's what I said. We don't have a problem praying about what we don't have. But what I want to encourage you to do and what God's got a hold of me about is being thankful for what I do have. And it's a whole lot more than what I don't have. A whole lot more. The other thing. As far as abiding prayer, thankfulness and thanking God, it should be part of your prayers. Philippians, you don't go there. Philippians 4 comes to mind. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is a component of your prayer. And far too many times, it's not with us. But the other part of this abiding with God, I said it's fellowship with God, and the best way to stay in fellowship with God is to keep the sin out and do those things, but also be thankful for the things He's given you. But the other part of this is staying in the will of God. Staying in the will of God. Staying in the will of God. Today in our Sunday school lesson, in the College and Career and Young Families class, in reading some stuff on George Mueller and just reading the impressive list of answered prayer for these orphanages and the things that he had trusted completely in God. He never asked anybody else for another cent. He had a need. He truly believed it was God's will that he had an orphanage, and he ended up having five. And he truly believed it was God's will to do that, then God was going to take care of it. And God did. You know, God is, he's not a slouch. He takes care of his bills, and he takes care of all those things. And so in reading all that, I stumbled upon a little deal that George Mueller wrote about how to ascertain the will of God by George Mueller. And it was 6 points. And I started in on the first point this morning, and I stayed there quite a while. The first point, I got the lesson right here. The first point, the first thing that George Mueller does or did when he wanted to ascertain the will of God: I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Let me read that again. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Does that resemble not my will, but thine will be done? He says that 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. There is wisdom that is just extruding from that. Abiding prayer and going to the Lord to find out what his will in something in your life is. And I do this often. And I believe that you can't do it too often. I don't believe that there is a question that's too trivial or a question that's too hard for my God. And I believe that he wants every one of us to, by abiding in him, to come to him for his wisdom. The Bible says, if you lack it, ask him. Come to him to find out what his will in the situation is. The biggest problem that he showed me with, he put one of those big Baptist fingers right in my face. He showed me is, the biggest problem with me seeing what the will of God is I got too much of my will on that screen. I'm in the way. And if I can encourage any of y'all tonight to do one thing, it's to get you out of the deal. To get your will out of it. And it's so hard. It's a lot easier to read that on paper than it is to do it in real life. To actually get to a state where you have a heart that wants to know what God thinks about something, and it doesn't matter what his answer is. Because you know his answer is the answer. It is the best answer. It's the best answer for you. Does that mean it's convenient? Seldom. Seldom. But it's the best answer. And abiding prayer, prayer that is going to build your fellowship with God. I mean, I don't know. I've done this, and I can't do it enough. Go somewhere, sit down, and just don't. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is to abide with God. And I want to read his words. I want him to speak to me. And as thoughts come to my mind, I speak to him. And we just have a good old time. And I invite you to do that. We not only have to have purging prayer in our life, the stuff that we're going to get this impurities out, but we also have to have this abiding prayer in our life. Do you understand that? Does it make any sense? You're looking at me like, what are you saying? No, it's true. And if we could spend more time on some of we're supposed to, what does it say? Bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. I believe one way we can bring forth fruit is through purging prayer. And I'll show you in a minute how that works. I think another way that we can bring forth fruit is this abiding prayer. Spending more time in fellowship with Jesus Christ. In fellowship with God, and not a laundry list of what you need and a complaint list of what you hadn't got. Does that make sense? The third thing. Look in verse 9. The passage says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. In verse 13, we've got an example here of the greatest gift of love that I know of. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you agree in that great gift of love? Look in verse 12, we've got a commandment. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Whoo, now we got a problem. How many of y'all want to go get crucified for me? Huh? I didn't think so. We got a problem here because we are to love Him as He has loved us. And He did the number one form of love. He took it on the cross for me. So we've got something here. If I believe because of this tie here that God has showed me to prayer, I believe that one of the greatest ways to show love for others is to pray for them. Is that too far of a stretch for you? I don't think so. I think I'm really close. Look in verse 16. It shows that this stuff is connected. Ye have not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it. I believe that somehow God has chosen and ordained. You know, we get this. Have you ever heard the question? Why doesn't God just save you and then take you straight to heaven? And the standard answer is He has something for you to do here. Maybe it's win some more souls. Maybe it's spread the gospel, or maybe it's teach a Sunday school. You know, go on and fill in all the blanks. I truly believe that why He's left us here, one of the main reasons and one of the big ones and one that fulfills that commandment is that we pray for other people, especially for one another. I believe that's part of the deal. I really do. I believe that God expects us to pray for others. Okay? Turn to Job chapter 7. I want to just show you something real quick. We're going to come back to John. Shouldn't be too hard to find. But turn to Job. You know the story of Job. God allowed the devil to really put it on Job. Okay? And Job had some friends that showed up and were just not very merciful at all, okay? And you know that Job went through chapter and chapter and chapter out of this persecution and ridicule and all these things from all of his friends, okay? But look, I just want to show you in... am I in Job chapter 7? Yeah. Look in Job chapter 7, verse 20. Job says, I have sinned. You see that confession of sin right there in Job, in chapter 7 of Job? And we go on and we go on. Turn to chapter 42. Did Job's persecution change any? Did his health come back to him? Did his kids back? Did his life just turn rosy when he said, I have sinned? He confessed his sin? Nothing changed. In fact, it got worse. Okay? But in chapter 42, verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Do you think Job's prayers for his friends affected his condition? Sure. I believe that there's a connection. I believe God truly has called and ordained us to bring forth fruit, and this fruit is our prayers. Is our prayers. You know that Samuel, you can write this down, Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. This was the children of Israel. Job didn't have John chapter 15. But Job knew something from God, that he had a requirement, he had a responsibility to pray for those people. And I believe, and I don't believe I'm putting too much on any of us, I believe that God gets a kick out of us praying for others. That God answers those prayers, that God blesses us for saying those prayers, and that the greatest way for us to show our love for other people is to pray for them. If that's true, if the greatest way that we can show our love for other people is to pray for them, then you can just go ahead and take the next step. Then the greatest thing in that would be for praying for other people to be saved. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be just like the top shelf deal? This morning at 8:30, we met here, and that's what we did. And next Sunday morning, we'll meet here, and that's what we do. There's a list on the back seat back there of folks that we have put on that list that we would love to see God change the circumstances in their life. God's not going to change their will. But God can sure change the circumstances in their life. He can put them through some things. He can send the right witness at the right time. He can use the Holy Spirit to use the right wording at the right time. And He can affect their heart as much. If God can't get her done, their own will is not going to let it get done. But we put people on this list that we have witnessed to, that we would hope to witness to, that we have asked to church, that we would hope to ask to church. We've put, there's some lost family members on this list. And we come in here and we pray for those folks to be saved. And Amber, that is not here tonight, you can go look at the list. She's on the list, but now beside her name is saved. That is special. I don't know if you've ever had the thrill, I'm going to call it a thrill because it is a thrill, to actually set your sights on somebody that you would really love the Lord to get a hold of their heart and get them saved, and then they get saved. You talk about a prayer of love, that is it. Let me tell you something about, when did you start coming to church? Exactly, March 2013. Cade walked in, and Maureen and I, in the old sanctuary, we sat right about here. And the Havens sat right about there. Isn't that strange? We're Baptists. Everybody's still sitting in the same place. And look what Amanda drug in. Here comes Cade. And he sat right here on the end, him in his big old cowboy boots, and he had a little bit longer hair back then. And he come in, and I can guarantee you, he wanted no part of this. Did you? Bunch of goofy people. But Amanda wanted him to come to church. And I guess she's got quite a will, but she got him here. And he continued to come, didn't you? And I tell you what, I don't know if you know it or not, but there was a man and a lady right back there, and they resemble me and Maureen. And we prayed every time there was an altar call. Okay? And I don't know how many times you sat over there in that chair and there was that altar call and that foot was just like creeping for that aisle and it wouldn't go. And we're back there going, do it, do it, do it. And he wouldn't do it. But he finally did. And it's such a joy. It's such a thrill to know that somebody that you've prayed for has actually, God has worked on their heart and they're saved. Amber, that time pastor was, I don't know, only the people that sat in the front part of the church saw it. But the first time that John got one of his co-workers, Amber, to show up for church, they came in late and they came and sat on the first seats. Her and her two kids. And I don't remember what I was preaching of. I don't even remember anything. But I know that the first about six rows weren't listening to me. They were watching the gymnastics show over here. They were running and banging into the baptistry. They were coming up and doing swan dives off the pulpit. And I was up here just trying not to look, not to look. And Lou Ann, after the deal, she said, I was praying for you. And I said, I wish you were praying for God to kill them kids. Okay? And all of that, man, I left here going, I mean, I tell you what, that was a blessing. They came to church. Well, about three or four more times she came to church, she got saved. You know, that is such a joy. Such a joy. I know one day, long ago, Pastor and I went over behind the church and we were kayaking, and was the guy named Peter? A guy came up after we were there and he needed to borrow a knife to clean some fish. What a deal, you know? And so we're there, we're loading up kayaks, so, you know, neither one of us wanted to really let him take our knife and leave with it. So Pastor goes over and starts talking to him. I go over and get a Mark New Testament out. Pastor starts talking to him about the Lord, gives him the New Testament. You know what I did? I prayed. And you know what? Peter got saved. Right there, in front of God and everybody, right there on the beach, he got saved. And what a joy to this day that is, because I was actually bringing forth fruit. I was in on the conception of that deal, because not because I was doing the witnessing, but because I was doing the praying. You see how that works? We have such a great opportunity. I call these loving prayers, by the way. We've got purging prayers. We got abiding prayers. And I mean, the greatest thing you can do is pray a loving prayer. I don't know. Pastor mentions it a lot, but when he, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you know, if you want to know more about receiving Jesus Christ, raise your hand, and then he'll say, and he'll call for a show of hands. How many of y'all got saved in a church service like this? And the hands will go up. And then he often will say, don't be afraid of it, because there are folks out here praying that you will get saved, praying that you will come to the altar, pray that you will accept that. How many of y'all are part of that deal? Yeah. Yeah. That you're bringing forth fruit. You're bringing forth fruit. You're in on the bottom floor. You're in on the you're in on the ground floor of something that God is going to produce fruit with. When pastor's preaching and that, even if this is a hard one. When pastor's up here, he's not preaching on salvation. He's preaching more of this purging stuff. And he is pleading with you to purge your sin, to stop your sin, and to get down here and to pray and do that purging prayer. It's not so easy to make that walk. But the same thing goes true. I know that there's not a soul within this room that is going to look down on anybody that comes to this altar. In other words, you're going to look at them and go, thank God, praise the Lord. You're going to rejoice in the fact that, just like they do in heaven, that there's rejoicing in heaven at what? One sinner that repenteth. You see, you've got an opportunity, I've got an opportunity in our prayer life to bring forth fruit. To bring forth fruit. It's not only in the preaching and the teaching and the things here. On the ships. We go on these ships every Tuesday and we visit these sailors, and sometimes we have good days and sometimes we have bad days. And you just get what God, it's God's work. It's His harvest. And we're just going out there saying, Lord, let me be a laborer in the harvest. And that being a laborer in the harvest doesn't mean I get to harvest. I may get to plant. I may get to use my face to plow up some hard soil. You're just a laborer. And Milton and I go out and we're laborers in the harvest. And because of the way it's set up, I do most of my time selling phone cards and doing the Seaman Center part of the deal. And that's why we teamed up, because it gives Milton the opportunity to be the witness part of this deal and to hand out the Bibles and talk to men. And I cannot tell you how many times that he's got somebody cornered and they are listening and they are drawing in on it. And he knows and God knows that I am praying for that. And every time that a soul comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on one of those ships, I got in on bringing forth some fruit, because I was praying for that. When y'all pray on a Wednesday night for the port ministry, guess what? You get in on the ground floor. You are bringing forth fruit. Bringing forth fruit. It doesn't stop there. We can go on and we can talk about, here's one. Praying for pastor. Praying for pastor. I know every Wednesday night we lift up pastors and families. We started that stuff as soon as there was more than one pastor. Okay? But praying for pastor, his responsibilities, his duties, he is a huge target for the devil, all these kind of things. When I first started this full time, and to this day I feel very unworthy of the responsibility that I have. But one thing God has showed me, that my number one responsibility is, and it's not on a spreadsheet, and it's not on a job description. My number one responsibility is to pray for him. And I mean to pray sincerely. I mean prayers of love, and pray for him, his family, every situation he's in. I get more accomplished in a day if I spend the more time I spend praying for him. You know, I know that there's a lot of things that we'd like to accomplish in this church. We have all kinds of outreach ministries. We're thinking about a college ministry. We're thinking about another nursing home ministry. We're always looking for some way to start something or do something or get bigger or do better. You know what? I'd love to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with every one of y'all and Jesus Christ look us all in the face and say, you know what? That church at Rand Morgan was a praying church. And y'all really brought forth some fruit through those prayers. And every one of you have, it's better than getting in on missions. It is. Those missionaries come here and what do they ask for? And sometimes we think that's just, oh, they just say that. They mean it. They ask for prayer because they know that that prayer is a lot better than that money. God can do a lot better with that prayer and he don't need the money. And so I'm begging and I'm asking each one of you, if you're going to do anything this year, I want to encourage you to get into more purging prayer. I want you to take some more time with some abiding prayer. And I want you to spend as much time as you can loving prayer, praying for other folks. But I want to show you one other thing before we close. I want you to look in verse 16. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit." I think I've explained that. And I think I truly believe that God has chosen each one of us to go and bring forth fruit. And I believe one way of doing that is through your prayers. But look at the next section of that. It says, "And that your fruit should remain." And I thought, now what is that? Because I've heard, you know, soul winning stuff, you know, you got that remains and all this. But you know, this Bible is simple. And I tend to make it a lot harder than it is. Look up in verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you." He's fixing to explain what he's just told you. "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might" what? "Remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Let me suggest just for a second that this joy that remains is some fruit that Jesus Christ left for us. It's called the joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah, it calls it your strength. Everything I have explained tonight, that purging prayer where I can sit down with God's words and I can take the things on my heart and we can all let it out and I can get through with that and get up and feel so much better. You know what that feeling is? It's the joy of the Lord. You know, when I go to that abiding prayer and I take that time and I sit down with the Lord and I want to have fellowship with Him, I want to do His will. I want to stay in good fellowship with Him. And when I get up from that prayer, you know what I've produced? I've produced a fruit that's lasting. I've produced a fruit that remains. Because what I've walked away with is the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. It's what keeps every one of us going is this joy of the Lord. When I was talking about this watching and praying for people to get saved and seeing them get saved, that's a true joy that's in me. And until you've experienced that, the best I can do is try to explain it to you. But it's not a joy of this world. It's not a joy that man can produce. It's a joy, it's a fruit that Jesus Christ has left here that remains that we get to take part of. And we get to take part of that fruit by getting in on this bringing forth fruit floor. Do you understand that? When we get to this praying for missionaries and praying for pastor and praying for each other and showing up on Wednesday night and praying for all kinds of sickness, and most of the time, half of that list, I'm praying for people I don't even know. Can you pray for Aunt so-and-so, or can you pray for Joe, he works with me, or can blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't even know those people. But you know what? I know Jesus Christ. And I know He can answer those prayers. And I know what? When I take the time sincerely to pray that list during the week, guess what? I am bringing forth fruit. That remains because I get a joy out of that. Does that make any sense at all? If there's any way, my prayer of love for you is truly that somehow God has talked to you somewhere, the Holy Spirit has talked to you somewhere in this message and said, you know what? There's something you need to purge. You know what? Me and you need to have a little bit better fellowship. You know what? When I said pray for others that are sick or pray for others that need this or pray for other stuff, there were some things that came to your mind that you know you should be praying for. My loving prayer for you is don't leave this building without taking care of that. And make it a point this year to put some more time. I know I want you to put as much time as you can into reading that Bible. I really do. And I want to put as much time as I can in that Bible. But I need to give a lot more time to prayer. It's a power and it's a privilege that God has given me. And it's a way for me to fulfill that commandment to bring forth much fruit. If y'all bow your heads, we'll pray. Father, I just, once again, I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for how you've showed me, once again, something out of this book that truly is affecting my life, that'll help my life. And Father, I pray that somehow you can use the words that I said to affect the hearts and minds of the folks that are here. Oh, Lord, I pray that we can get a hold of you and purge some of the things that that get in the way, that get between us and you. Lord, I pray that there's a sincere desire in every heart in here to have some of that abiding prayer, abiding time with you, where they can really get with you and have fellowship with you and produce that joy of the Lord that you've given us, Lord. It's our strength. It's what gets us through each day. Lord, I pray that we will never neglect the loving prayers and praying for others. And Father, I just pray that you'd show us more needs so that we'd have more things to pray about. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to preach this message, and I pray that it'll go out and have some kind of effect. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.